Welcome back to episode 14 of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom podcast. Today's episode is one that I am particularly fired up about, and when I originally shared this topic on my small corner of the internet a couple of months ago, you all had a very similar response. So let's dive right on in. In today's episode, I invite one-on-one nutrition coaching client Amber to share a little bit about her experience, because I know this is so relatable to so many of you, in how mom, perhaps dad, your diet is destroying your daughter's relationship with food. And I think it's damn time we started talking about it. So I hope you enjoy today's episode. Please let me know if this resonates with you. You know, maybe even take 2 seconds and drop a 5-star review. So without further ado, let's go. Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. So Amber, before we get started and dive into the fun stuff, can you just tell us a little bit about you? Like, what do you do? Who are you? What makes you fun and exciting? Like, give us the nutshell version.
I'm an educator. I've worked in education for 12 years. I work mostly with students and families that speak other languages than English at home. So they're from all around the world, and work with them on sometimes just moving to the United States and getting acclimated to school, the whole way through students being able to be proficient in English and moving on to college and other things. Other than that, I'm a dog mom. My doggie is asleep right next to me, hoping that he doesn't wake up and decide to bark. And I love interior design. If I wasn't in education, I would do interior design.
Oh, I love that. So your house, do you have fun like decorating all the different rooms, or it's sort of like, I don't have time for that?
No, all the different rooms, and they're all decorated different.
So cool. So you're creative through and through.
Yes. I'm not a painter. I don't like to do things and make them and put them on Pinterest. None of that. But I can see it and I can decorate it.
Bless those Pinterest people. I don't know who they are, but oh my gosh, not me. Clearly not you. We'll leave that to them. So Amber, you are the first guest on the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom podcast, which is just so exciting. And I brought you on as the first guest because you're a one-on-one coaching client. So we have the opportunity to chat frequently about nutrition, about your health, about your goals. And I had posted this topic a couple of months ago now, and it kind of like blew up. People kind of freaked out about it. It was such a hot topic. And that is that your diet is ruining your daughter's relationship with food. So super polarizing, really kind of like this big statement to say, especially coming from someone who's not a mom, right? I am not. And it kind of really, I think, kickstarted a lot of conversations where people started realizing just how damaging their diet talk, their diet actions, the kind of conversations they were having with other friends and other people were actually damaging their, not just daughters, but children's relationships with food. And at the time you were like, wow, this is such a relatable topic for me. I would love to chat more about this. So I'm just going to read a short little excerpt from the original post, so people who haven't seen it kind of have an idea of what we're talking about. But then I want to dive into kind of how this relates to you and what advice or wisdom you would share coming from this perspective. So we'll dive right in. The post starts off by saying, "Your diet is destroying your daughter's relationship with food. And you might not like hearing it, but it's true. You're shaming your body because it doesn't look the way it used to, and she's listening. You're obsessing over the calories and carbohydrates that you can't have, and she's listening.
You're talking to friends about how the scale never moves and how you're resigned to be unhappy with your body. And she's listening. You're grumbling about your belly, your thighs, and your back fat. And she's listening. She's always listening until one day your insecurities, your food fears, and your body hate become hers. And I know this because I sit across from your daughter, versions of the woman she will grow to become. And do you know who she talks about most? Who she cites as being the most influential person in her personal war with food. And it's you, right? It's parents in general. I was specifically targeting moms because women, we are victims of diet culture, right? We need to be in smaller bodies. We need to be skinnier. We need to be constantly obsessing about our food choices. And we ourselves are trying to figure that out for us. And of course, we're setting models for everyone around us. And I think sometimes we just don't know how to deal with that. So I know your situation is a little different. You actually said it was dad, right? Who was influential in your relationship with food. So tell us a little bit about that. How did your dad's relationship with food affect yours, either positively or negatively?
Yeah, so it's interesting because it is mom and dad. So mom is something I realized my whole life. I remember being, I should probably start off by saying my mom's maybe 5'1 and was 127 pounds pregnant, generally a petite 110, okay? I am my father's daughter through and through. I am never and have never been a petite 110. So we've always had that difference in our bodies. So growing up, I can remember candidly knowing, okay, well, a tablespoon of ketchup has this many carbs, right? Phases where butter was out and margarine was in, and then margarine was out and butter was in. She was always following the rules, the culture, right? She had some chronic illnesses, so she really did watch what she ate for a reason. But as a kid, you don't realize that as well. So, you know, I saw her take 5-mile walks every day. To me, that was her being healthy or maybe being a little too healthy. To her, that was, I have rheumatoid arthritis and I need to stay active because it is what will help prevent my disease progressing. So some of those things were just mixed messages. Again, not looking like her and seeing her wear 2s and 4s and really cute clothes and seeing myself just have a different body shape. So it definitely was mom. But in the last few years, I've started hearing dad differently. And that's when I realized that it's definitely dad too. So dad recently, you know, he's just older, so he's not able to be as active. He's had hip surgeries and knee surgeries. And in his inactivity, he's now more concerned about, I guess, what he's putting in his body. But it rings true to all the times I heard it growing up. Yeah, I weigh too much. I weigh too much. I'm going to cut back. I cut back the soda. I cut back the chips. I cut back this. I lost 20 pounds, you know, and then a few months later, oh man, I'm up again. Okay, now I'm going to cut this. I'm going to cut that. And my dad does not have healthy eating habits. My dad has, I'm going to eat pizza. I'm going to eat, barbecue. I don't know the last time he ate a vegetable in my life. Maybe if it came in a can, but there's not a lot of healthy choices that are going in as well. So it just resonated with me in the last few years going, I also heard it from dad my whole life. And because I also looked like dad, sometimes he treated me the way he treated himself and his body. So when I got too skinny because I was doing the diet pills and being really unhealthy, how skinny are you going to get? When I got heavier, how heavy are you going to get? Let's get the scale out. Because he was treating me the way he treated his own body, you know? So I would just say a lot of those things in the last few years started to really just resonate with me. And I started to realize, okay, I've had a home where very loving parents and not intentional, but it's always been there.
You know,
never got away from it.
And I think that is definitely a point I want to make. It's not that mom or dad, based on, you know, your individual situation, is trying to be damaging or be detrimental to anyone else's relationship with food. I honestly think that all of us are just trying to do our very best in our own bodies. And it's hard, right? Like, I get this. This is what I do. Relationships with food, relationships with our bodies are very, very difficult. And that was my next question, Amber, was, do you think growing up that mom and dad were struggling with their own relationships with food? Like, obviously they cared very much about you and your relationship with food, with your body, with health in general. But do you think that they too were struggling through that?
Absolutely. I absolutely. I think, you know, like I said, my mom really followed the culture. So, you know, being pregnant, she worked out until 2 days before. She was at Jazzercise and who knows what back then with the little, you know, trampolines and all of this and step aerobics. And like I said, there was definitely benefit to that. But sometimes I think the strict nature of following the diet and exercise culture was adhered to in a rigid way or a not healthy way. You know, I'd watch her, she eats every few hours, which is not a bad thing, but I'd watch her get so ravished or so depleted in blood sugar that she'd just be like, oh my gosh, I have to eat something right now. You know, so that wasn't necessarily super healthy either. And she really tried to help me, but I don't think she realized some of the diet culture I was too young for because I couldn't differentiate. So I have pictures of me maybe somewhere between 8 and 10, you know, in a bathing suit, side profile, front profile. I mean, why at 8 and 10, you know, or that's, but again, she tried to be supportive. So in 7th grade, going into 8th grade, every day over the summer, I got up and I exercised with one of her friends for an hour. Looking back, I don't really know. I think I would have said, you have all day to go play with your friends outside. You know, why are you going to exercise with my friend every morning? But she was trying to be helpful. You know, she had a daughter that did not carry weight or look the same. And she knew that that bothered me. So, you know, again, like you said, it's no one's fault. They were doing the best they could. But you hear and see all those cues all the time as a kid.
Yes. And I think, obviously, we're always listening. We're always kind of taking things in as children, as adolescents, even as young adults. And like you said, you and your mom have very, very different body types. And so I think you were seeing something being modeled, but it wasn't built for you or designed for you or considering your body. And she was trying to help you, but she couldn't really understand your body or even where you were coming from at such a young age. So it's sort of like good intentions that have gone awry, right? Like it ended up being more damaging than helpful, even though she had the best of intentions. Mm-hmm. And I think what I hear a lot of the time and what I see, so sometimes I get to meet with adolescents who are struggling with trying to lose weight or with disordered eating patterns, and mom and or dad will come with them to their nutrition coaching session. And it's really, really eye-opening for me just to kind of get to be a fly on the wall and hear their dynamic and hear their conversations. But a lot of that is mom and dad feeling like they've struggled in some way and they don't want their baby girl or their baby boy to grow up and also struggle with weight or to grow up and feel like she has to diet. And so they're trying their very best to kind of nip it in the bud, for lack of a better expression, at a young age, without realizing that instead of maybe praising positive behaviors, like, hey, go out and play with your friends, right? Like, be active, but not in an exercise, like this is punishment kind of capacity. They could be doing so much more benefit and helping us out as children, as adolescents, better than coming at it from a diet culture mindset where it's eat less, you know, exercise more. And then we need to make sure that we're obsessing over, you know, pinching your fat and taking photos, right? You had progress photos at such a young age. And so I do think that it's something that needs more education. We need to be talking about it because mom and dad, most of the time, have a best interest at heart, but it's not helping and it ends up being really damaging. And I'm sure you can speak to, are there scripts, Amber, that you still think about or that pop up in your brain? Like maybe something mom or dad had said to you that still like maybe out of nowhere, you're having a rough day. We all have days where we don't love what we see in the mirror. That's normal. It's called being a human. Are there things that you can think of, like, that pop into your brain as far as scripting that you heard as an adolescent or a child that now still sticks with you?
I think one of the things recently is because my dad has been so, again, concerned. I'm not going to say obsessed, but let's say concerned about his weight because he's not as active anymore. And so it's actually more of a healthy concern now because he's older. But anytime he talks about his weight, I will immediately change the conversation because I don't want to talk about my weight. And I know that that is going to be the next step in the conversation, right? Is like, well, what are you doing? You know, let's get the scale out. Let's weigh ourselves together. So, I mean, that's one that I probably avoid weekly, you know, I just change the conversation. You know, as far as a script per se, I don't think necessarily that things pop up that I'm really cognizant of. But when I am with my mom, I still admire how she can get a piece of chocolate cake and make it last for 5 days. Mm-hmm. Like, I will still like watch her and be like, wow, she literally ate one bite of that cake and put it away till tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I we've worked together long enough. If you want the cake, eat the cake, you know. But the way she does moderation is so different and restrictive. And being someone that has, you know, dieted pretty hardcore and had disordered eating, there's a freedom and a control when you're not eating. And so it's almost like I watch her and I'm like, wow, I remember how good it felt to eat half a banana every day. Like, didn't that feel so great? Which I know is a terrible dialogue to have. But when you have issues with eating and restricting starts to feel so good, it's like that has been something that I think, not that she ever intended, but I picked up from her, right? It's a win or it's a control piece. And so that does feel really good, but I always have to watch myself because I don't want to get back to that place where I'm not eating, you know, a full nutritional palate just because I want the control of not eating, if that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. I think that's what's been reinforced in your brain, right? Is taking a small bit of something or minimizing your portions or overly restricting that was praised. And it's still something you look up to this day as like a grown adult that has come a long way through the process of disordered eating. And I think that's what we don't often acknowledge is we're not born with this weighing less is better mindset, right? That has been conditioned in us from a very young age as females. Males certainly, you know, can relate to that as well, but it's something that we learn and that has been patterned. So whenever dad perhaps lost a couple pounds, if he was like, oh, I'm feeling better, this is great, I'm down a couple pounds, you immediately correlate weighing less with feeling better and being a better person. Even though our weight and the shape and the size of our body has nothing to do with our self-worth, we immediately start pairing that. And you basically just described the same thing with depriving, with restriction, that was praised in mom's relationship with food. And even though you know that's not always the healthy option, in fact, we could argue most of the time it's not the healthy option, that still is something that your brain correlates, right? Those pathways run really deep inside of our brain. You still correlate that with being a good thing. And I think that's a perfect example. So Amber, let's flip the script a little bit. And this might be a difficult question to answer, but thinking back to those young years, what would have been more helpful for you? So can you think of something you wish your parents would have said or you wish they would have done? You already mentioned like go outside and play instead of maybe mandating an hour long workout. Can you think of anything else that maybe would have been more helpful to you?
One of the things I thought about probably in my mid 20s, when I was teaching, a lot of the kids I taught came from cultures where being pregnant is a very, very important component to life. Not that it's not important in our culture, but it's a very loving experience. So I'm someone who, it doesn't, irregardless of weight, I hold my fat in my stomach. So as soon as I walked in the classroom, I had kids asking me, Miss, are you pregnant? Miss, are you pregnant? And I would always be like, no, I'm just fat. Like, no, I'm just fat. And that was my answer because, one, I'm not really used to being asked often. But two, you know, that was just kind of my conditioned response from growing up and my issues with my body. But I realized that that's no different than me using other words around kids I wouldn't want to use or statements I wouldn't want to make. So I, you know, learned strategies to, one, tell them it's not really appropriate to ask people that so much in our culture. It makes people feel bad. But two, I stopped saying like, no, I'm just heavy, you know, or no, I'm just fat. I would come up with, you know, other things to kind of divert the conversation to, no, you know, this is just my body. And, you know, it's not really nice to ask those things of people. But it just resonated with me one time when I heard myself say it to a kid. And I went, why would I want to say that to a young girl? You know, why would I ever want to say that and have her think, you know, what if she looks like me or her mom looks like me, or, you know, now I'm saying that this body type or this size is fat, like it's a bad thing, you know? So that to me was a change that even if I didn't necessarily feel it on the inside, I knew I had to make a better change for the kids I was teaching. But I do think in a way it helped me start to change my inner dialogue a little bit, right? You know, and I think probably, you know, when I was a kid, my mom would just say like, oh, you're plus size. You know, you just carry your weight differently. And she would try. But again, when your group of friends is very thin and don't hit puberty until years after you, and you're 9 years old with a period and boobs and a butt, you know, it's a different experience. My friends would share clothes and I couldn't. So I don't think it was necessarily things I could change, but maybe starting that inner dialogue with myself a little sooner of just, this is, you know, this is my body shape and that's okay because I am strong, you know, and there are things I can do that other people can't. Like, I really like to lift weights and I'm proud of that. It makes me feel good. So I don't know that that's your answer, but that's kind of when I started thinking that that inner dialogue really needed to change.
No, I think that's a great answer, Amber. And I think you're hitting on a big hot topic, essentially, which is fat stigma, right? So fat is not inherently good or bad. In fact, our bodies need some fat. And then there are body types that naturally carry more fat. And you mentioned where we carry our fat is not up to us. We can't change that, right? It's a genetic component. And I think instead of educating and teaching children around like, hey, all body types are different and that's completely okay. We have this fat is bad, like bigger people are not as healthy, which is not always the case. I think a lot of education and stigma work would be so beneficial because here you are as a young child, as a young adolescent, and you think you're inferior to someone else simply because she's smaller than you. And that starts to create that negative cycle. And I think it sounds like your parents did a lot of things well. They were trying, right? That maybe they just didn't have the correct language to use or even the appropriate resources to call upon. But saying like, hey, your body is different. And sometimes I hear, I just overheard a young female athlete the other day. She was saying, oh, well, my mom doesn't let me pack chocolate in my lunches unless I'm working out that day. And so here we are creating this, like, you have to exercise as punishment to earn your food mindset as an adolescent athlete. So like, what is she going to do as an adult when she wants that piece of chocolate cake? She's going to feel like she has to go burn off those calories in the gym. I think we just have to be very, very careful about what we're saying and how we're speaking and ultimately what our relationship with food is personally and how that's affecting those around us. And I think you said something very, very important, which is you don't have to entertain those conversations. People want to talk about weight. They want to be validated when they're trying the latest fad or the latest quick fix. But it is your right to A, walk away from the conversation if it's not serving you or helping you, or B, change the conversation and just say, hey guys, I don't really want to talk about weight what are you doing this weekend, right? Like, I think we forget that we have that power. And it's something that's really prevalent in our culture. We talk about it all the time. And I think maybe we don't have to. Like, maybe we need to start talking about it differently, or just not entertaining those negative conversations to begin with. But Amber, I want to make sure we get to, obviously, you have taken action and you have changed your relationship with food as an adult, right? You realized, hey, there's negative scripts that I have that aren't serving me. I want to be healthy. I want to feel confident in the body that I'm living in, knowing that we're all created individually and uniquely. Tell us a little bit about that process. So you have, we've been working together for a couple of months now, and you've been changing not just what you're eating. It's not a diet. It's how I think about food, how I associate with food, what food means to me and my body. Tell us how that has been helpful in maybe changing some of those old scripts or just redefining what your relationship with food looks like now as an adult.
So I think probably in the last, maybe since about 2012 until present, I had some pretty high stress jobs. And some of those jobs came with, unfortunately, their own food culture, where it was like, if you had time to sit down and eat a yogurt or have lunch, it was like you weren't working hard enough. So that created its own new kind of food culture for me, where it was like, okay, I'm just going to go on coffee. You know, if there were sweets in the break room or whatever, but it's just a go world. And I loved my job. It was very satisfying. But I'm now starting to break those unhealthy habits. So I think the biggest thing for me is the balance of not doing it too restrictively. Having a big bowl of fruit on my counter that I can choose from is not a bad thing, right? It's better than choosing from Pop-Tarts and junk in the cabinet. Having gone through all the diet culture where, you know, South Beach and low carb and, you know, Weight Watchers and counting calories and so on, I'm unlearning those things. And I'm just starting to, through our work together, look at the whole nutritional spectrum, right? Get back to like the whole foods in a sense and balance the not being too restrictive and not just throwing it to the wind because the day is crazy at work. You know, not just starting off with a big, huge coffee and not planning what's going to be for lunch. And then getting home and being like, I didn't really eat through my nutritional palate today. I just, you know, ate what I could. So those are probably the overarching things that our work together is setting me on a better path for.
I love that. I think you kind of hit on this topic of it's okay to want to change your body and to want to change your health. I think that's been demonized a little bit. And I don't agree with that. I think so many of us, moms or not, females or not, we just want to feel more confident in the body that we're living in. And we want to feel like we are more able-bodied and can go do whatever we want to do with confidence in whatever outfit we choose to wear. And that's okay. I think how we choose to get there is what you and I are getting at today. You can choose a deprivation-based diet culture model. But then what is that teaching you that you need to eat less in order to be worth more? You can choose a restrictive program, but is that sustainable or is that just going to set you up for future failure because you just can't stick with it? It's going to make you feel worse than before. And above, you know, all of this, who is watching your journey and who's a part of your journey that you are by default influencing through your choices? So if not for them, for you, choose something that is life-giving and is promoting health along with that body confidence. And if that means reducing body fat, great. That doesn't have to be a bad thing, but choose to do it in a healthy, life-giving way that's nourishing and giving back to your body as opposed to just restricting and taking calories and forcing yourself to do copious amounts of exercise. Like, I think bottom line, if nobody else takes anything away from this podcast, which of course they will, you have been amazing. That's it. Like, just take a close look at what you're choosing and what the underlying message is of that action and how is it serving you in addition to the people around you. So Amber, final thoughts. Is there anything else that you would love to share with someone who's struggling maybe with their own relationship with food? What advice would you give them? Like the last takeaway.
Oh my goodness.
That was a loaded question.
That's a big one, right? Probably that it's okay because we all struggle. And that's whether it's food or relationships or confidence. I mean, there's so many things that we privately, personally struggle with that on the outside people don't know about. So it is okay. And whatever you need to be accountable to yourself, take that action. So we talked about this the other day. A couple of years ago, I was going to the gym and had a trainer and I loved it. And it was my way kind of back into getting healthy. And I would post selfies all the time. And my friends would be like, oh my gosh, seriously, like how many gyms? And I just said, that's my accountability. I wasn't doing it for anybody else but me, but that is something that I kind of needed to do for myself. So really just finding what works and whatever inner dialogue you're able to share, great. But if it doesn't make you feel comfortable to say, hey, you know what, friends or family or spouse, hold me accountable to this, then you don't have to say that either. Like, kind of like you said, you can make your own choices. You don't have to say, oh, I can't go out for pizza because I'm on a diet. You can just say, yeah, I'll go out for pizza. Oh, what are you going to get? I'm going to have a salad or eat the pizza, right? Like make the choice that's right for you. You know, and you just have to figure out what level keeps you accountable, but still makes you feel comfortable when you share with other folks.
Yes. I love that. We are all in charge of our own choices. We always have a choice. And I think choosing what leaves us feeling good physically, mentally, emotionally, like all of the above, it just, we can't go wrong. So thank you for joining us, Amber, and sharing your experience. I mean, I know this is not an easy topic to talk about, but I know that your journey will certainly speak into the lives of other women who are struggling with similar concepts. And, you know, mom or not, all of us have choice, and those choices affect those around us. So choosing something that is life-giving, that is actually nourishing our bodies and listening to our bodies, what do they actually need, as opposed to like forcing them into this rigid set of rules, is always, always, always going to be the best option. So thank you so much, Amber. I really appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com, where you can sign up for my weekly emails, where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.